Installhub.com, streamlining your installations.
Hey you, I hope you're good. Thanks for listening. Another day, another podcast. We've made it to Friday the 13th, and hopefully today is nothing but a lucky day for you. A driver has spoke about how he was kidnapped by his runaway electric car and forced to dodge red lights and roundabouts. Brian Morrison, who's 53 from Glasgow, said he was heading home from work on Sunday night when he said his brand new MG ZS EV became stuck at 30 miles per hour. Police were forced to stop the runaway car by allowing it to slowly crash into their police van. MG Motor UK said it was trying to resolve the matter. A spokesman said MG Motor UK has been urgently trying to make contact with Mr. Morrison so that his vehicle can be fully inspected by their engineering team. We take this matter very seriously, and now that contact has been made, we are making every effort to resolve this matter quickly and comprehensively for him. Police Scotland confirmed it had responded to a driver unable to stop his electric car. Now, the last 2 weeks in the UK has been dramatic for those watching the electric vehicle markets. First, the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak seemed to push back the UK's target of phasing out new combustion vehicle sales from 2030 to 2035 to much uproar. Then the government confirmed that its zero emissions vehicle mandate would go into effect next year as planned, which generated much less coverage. The mandate requires that automakers in the UK increase the share of zero emission vehicles they sell to 22% in 2024, 33% in 2026 and 52% in 2028 and 80% in 2030, en route to full adoption by 2035. In theory, both electric and fuel cell vehicles are eligible, but nobody's buying the latter, so this will all be met with EVs. The targets are binding and backed by fines, making the program similar to what California, China and other regions already have in place. It's one of the most aggressive regulations of its kind in the world. There are two interesting lessons for EV adoption that come out of this brief period of supposed turmoil, both of which have broader applicability beyond the UK. The ZEV mandate, on the other hand, has real teeth. Automakers that don't comply have to pay up to £15,000 for each vehicle they miss targets by. The ZEV mandate was always going to do the heavy lifting. As a whole, the UK auto market looks reasonably well positioned to hit the targets in the near term. Battery electric vehicles made up 16% of total car sales in the first half of the year. That's up 6.6% in 2020. Hitting 22% next year and 28% by 2025 will require continued growth and continued investment in charging infrastructure. For individual automakers, though, the picture is much more varied. Automakers that are further along in their electric vehicle rollout plans will have a big advantage in the years ahead, even though the mandate does provide others with flexibilities in the form of credit trading systems. So as usual, in the press, obviously the negativity has been highlighted, and I'm here to just let you know there is still an undercurrent of a lot of positivity with regards to EVs. Another major automaker is jumping on the Tesla bandwagon. Hyundai has announced today its plans to adapt the North American charging standard, aka the Tesla plug, for its future electric vehicles. Hyundai models compatible with Tesla's NACS plugs will start arriving in the fourth quarter of 2024. In the first quarter of 2025, the automaker will also provide adapters to its current customers so they can access Tesla's supercharger stations. Hyundai's current EV lineup, which includes the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, both have charging ports that are compatible with the combined charging standard, or CCS or DC fast charging. In other news this week, electric car drivers could face 7,500-hour waits at rapid charging stations in EV chaos. New data has suggested that some electric car drivers will need to spend a staggering 7,564 hours waiting to charge their car, highlighting the UK's insufficient charging network. Windsor and Maidenhead have the largest number of electric vehicles per public rapid charger, with 29,599 EVs for just three chargers. While the situation of all EVs in the area converging on those three rapid charges seems almost non-existent, drivers could still experience a long wait. Government data shows that just 17% of charges are rapid, meaning for every scenario where drivers turn up to unavailable charges, it could take up to 12 hours for a full charge with a slow charger. But as ever, it's not all bad. Street lamps with EV chargers and Wi-Fi are to be trialled in Oxfordshire. The state-of-the-art posts will be rolled out across Oxfordshire after the County Council won the £250,000 in government funding to test the latest digital technology. The columns can also be adapted to monitor air quality and display public information. The pilot will run until the 31st of March 2025. Oxfordshire County Council is one of the six local authorities to try the new multi-purpose street columns, which will house equipment to support the rollout of 5G and free public Wi-Fi. Now, that's not the only council trying to improve things. Plans have been submitted for EV chargers at a depot for electric bus fleets. Plans have been drawn up to install electric vehicle or EV charging ports at the new bus depot on Dalaman Lane in Warrington. Now, Warrington Borough Council's planning department must now rule on its own application for permission to install EV charging infrastructure, lighting and other associated works. The town has placed an order for 105 Volvo BZL electric buses, one of the biggest orders of electric buses by any town or city in the UK to date. Now, as ever, swings and roundabouts of good news and bad. John Lewis Financial Services has temporarily stopped offering insurance to drivers of electric vehicles, a decision made by its underwriter Covia. In a statement sent to Insurance Times on the 2nd of October, the department store's lending arm said it had halted offering new policies as well as renewals for EVs. It said the move came as Covia raised fears over the cost of repairing the vehicles. On now to solar news. A solar farm to power 650 homes has been rejected due to a visual impact on South Cambridgeshire's countryside. A planning inspector has rejected plans for 4,580 solar panels because of the harmful effects they would have on the unspoiled South Cambridgeshire countryside. The solar farm proposed over 22 rows on land southeast of Burton End and would have provided energy for more than 650 homes in the area. It would have been in place for 25 years, after which it would have been decommissioned and returned to agricultural use. Under the plan submitted by David Lodge, sheep would have been allowed to graze the land also. Now, sadly, there is a running theme. A huge solar farm outside Gloucestershire has been scrapped after a wave of objections from residents. Controversial plans to build a large solar panel farm of 25 hectares of land just outside of Gloucestershire have been withdrawn following widespread criticism of the scheme by people living in the area. This follows a similar withdrawal in 2022 of plans to build a battery energy storage facility at the site on Bengrove Farm. The solar panels would have generated around 15 megawatts of energy and powered roughly 5,700 homes in the area, but residents around opposed the development near Sandhurst on farmland north of Gloucestershire. Their reasons for opposing the renewable energy development ranged from its impact to the views from a nearby Grade 2 listed building to the needs for some of the panels to be elevated metres from the ground due to the site's flood risk. Now, of course, with regards to agricultural land, there is always opposition and, of course, opposing views. But we do have to try and move forward and be more energy efficient. So hopefully this is something we can all overcome in the future. Now, councils are very aware of this predicament. Lincolnshire's solar farm plans should be rejected. Now, plans for two Lincolnshire solar farms should be rejected by the government due to their likely impact on farmland, traffic concerns and lack of supporting infrastructure, councillors have said. The planning inspector is to decide whether the Cotton Farm and Heckington Fen solar park sites should go ahead. But giving feedback to the government, councillors criticised the proposal. Councillor Tom Smith said the Cotton Farm plan was one of the sacrificial lambs on the altar of net zero. But with all this said, it is not stopping people trying to move forward with regards to solar farms. JBM Solar, REW Group, is proposing to locate Pear Tree Hill Solar Farm to the east of Beverley in East Riding, Yorkshire. The initial consultation period runs from the 9th of October until the 6th of November 2023. Pear Tree Hill is made up of several areas of land connected by a series of underground cables. The most northern part of the site is located northwest of Leven, with the remaining of the solar farm located on land between the villages of Tickton, Riston, Wayne, Wheel and Woodsmansey. Although plans are at an early stage, the developer has outlined its commitments to the retention and the enhancement of natural habitats and species while delivering biodiversity net gain through new planning and habitat creations. And finally, global carbon emissions from electric power may peak this year, reports have said. Think Tank says rapid growth of wind and solar is near rate required if the world is to hit the 2030 target as part of the 1.5C pathway. A new report on global electricity generation found that the growth of renewable was so rapid that it was close to the incredibly fast rate required if the world is to hit the tripling of capacity by the end of the decade that experts believe is necessary to stay on the 1.5C pathway. It also noted that there has been only a slight increase in emissions in the first 6 months of the year compared with the same period of the year before. The findings suggest the world may be close to reaching the peak of the global power sector's carbon emissions, and they could soon even begin to fall in line with global climate targets. There we go, ending on a good story. So that is all from me. I'll be back with you next Friday, keeping you up to date with the latest sustainability news from everybody here at Install Hub. Make sure you have a fantastic weekend. And remember, if you're an installer of any of the energy efficient software, please do use installhub.com and allow us to help you to streamline your installations.